to another episode of the audio-only podcast of The Chad Prather Show. You know, we thought long and hard on what to name this show about 8 years ago. And in an epiphany, I mean, like a light bulb moment, I said, let's call it The Chad Prather Show. Actually, I was opposed to that. I had a manager at the time in Hollywood. We were actually in Beverly Hills when we started this show back in the day with Podcast One. Interviewing celebrities and, I don't know, just running my mouth. And they said, no, you got to call it The Chad Prather Show. I said, I don't like it. Let's call it something else. And they were like, no, you're going to call it The Chad Prather Show. 8 years later, here we are. Here we are. All these evolutions of The Chad Prather Show were here. It is March 6th, 2024. Biscuit is hanging out over here. Biscuit, don't look at me like that, Biscuit. Don't come over here and jump on my leg. She wants to pee on the ground. We're sitting up here in the cave over here at the control booth, and this room smells like Febreze and piss. You know, boy, oh boy, I don't want to be in Funny Willis's shoes. Why? Who has the raw gall, the gumption, the ability mentally to go after someone like a former president of the United States, knowing that you have that many skeletons in your closet? Fannie Willis did. Defense attorney. I mean, DA. Fannie Willis and her boyfriend. Ah, man, I'll tell you what. She knew what she was doing. She knew what she had been doing. No one, I don't think, is that stupid to take taxpayer money, hire someone to go after the president of the United States, and not expect to be exposed. District Attorney, Fannie Willis. She Fanny to me. She Fanny to me. Mama call her Fanny, I call her Fanny. So today, Ashley Merchant, who is the defense attorney, she's the one who put in the motion, the January motion, to disqualify Willis. She's the one who exposed the affair with Wade. And she's going to testify today before the legislative body that's going to, you know, just going to pile this thing on of all these misconduct claims. So what happened, as you know, Fannie Willis, she's accused. She appointed her longtime lover, Nathan Wade, a married man, who was not qualified at all to do the job. He was doing something else. You know what I'm talking about? He was a private practice attorney. She put him in charge of the prosecution. And they say that all their little shenanigans, their little sexual healing started after the prosecution started. After he was hired. He was charged in Fulton County, Georgia, $250 an hour in legal fees. Earned over $650,000. So Ashley Merchant, who exposed all this, what she said was that portions of Wade's paychecks were used on vacations that he took with Fannie Willis. Now, Willis says she paid for the travel expenses every now and then. And that she reimbursed him with cash. You remember what her father said under oath? Oh, God. He said, well, you know, that's black people. Black people keep cash around. Apparently, she keeps a lot of it around the house. So now we know that they exchanged all these messages. And it was kind of funny. I don't know if you saw it last week. Wade's ex-divorce lawyer. He knew about it and said that the affair started a lot earlier than what they claimed under oath. Now, here's the thing. People do dumb shit. People do crazy things, right? I mean, hey, it's a fool that looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart, okay? I mean, Fanny fell in love. And what happens. But when you go after the former president of the United States, you might want to clean, like, you know, God, you got the text messages. There's GPS locations of where you are. you use tact. And listen, you go get your freak on. That's between you and your lover and your lover's spouse. And you got to live with those consequences. But when you're using taxpayer funds to pay the guy to be the point man, and then he's using that money to take you out, you know, on a little Caribbean cruise or wherever they went. Oh, boy, them chickens going to come home to roost. So, anyway, when he was on the witness stand, Wade's defense attorney, Bradley, he denied having direct knowledge of what actually happened. So then they put the printout of the text, and if you saw it last week there on the stand, he said, and I quote, "Oh, dang." Way, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. You know why I laugh at it? It's not because I am pure. It's not because I don't have my own skeletons. I mean, good God, I've lived a reasonably transparent public life. Pretty much all of my skeletons are out there for all of you to see. But the sheer arrogance that you're going to operate with whenever you are confronted with these truths and pretend like you are perfect. You're going to be condescending. You're going to be patronizing. You are, oh, what was it they said about Fannie Willis? They said she was going to be the savior of democracy. Oh, boy. So townhall.com has a great article in here. It says that everything else Bradley couldn't quite recall when prodded to snitch on his ex-client. Those statements via text, he dismissed them as mere speculation. And chat logs, though, show that Bradley was a willing informant behind the keyboard, providing Merchant, his trustworthy friend, legal advice on effectively exposing corruption in the DA's office, such as whom she should subpoena. Good sweet Lord. God, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. I mean, I've sort of been a part of that in the past. I've had people who have tried to expose my text messages. I've had people who've made text messages up that were supposedly from me. I don't know if you know this about me or not. I'm flirtatious. I say things. But good God, you know, those things can be... they can be exposed in the court of public opinion and be very humiliating at times. And I can tell you that I know myself enough to know that it won't be, I won't find myself in a situation where I'm going to put myself in the public spotlight on a national level going after Donald J. Trump. Not going to do it. So we'll see what happens when Merchant appears in court Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern, who's going to deliver sworn testimony. We'll see what happens. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the Megyn Kelly show. She's had Phil Holloway on. And Phil has just kept up with this thing. You can follow him at Phil-Holloway, ESQ, Esquire, on X. And pretty insightful stuff. So we'll see what happens with all this stuff. You can't just sit back. You just have to sit back and watch the stupidity. It's not going to be good. I mean, there's a very good chance. I'll tell you my prediction. So there's a very good chance she could be disbarred. She could lose her law license. And she will fail upwards. MSNBC will probably give her a job. They'll pay her $20 million a year. And she will be a mouthpiece, yet another mouthpiece for the progressive left. And Fannie Willis will become a bigger household name. Even though she's guilty, she will fail upwards. That's my prediction, because that's exactly what happens to the left. There's no consequences. There's no accountability. They can demonstrate abject ignorance and stupidity on a public platform. And somehow the talking head media on the left, the Marxists in charge, will give them a job, paint them to be a victim. The system was opposed to them. And they were exploited in some kind of way. Meanwhile, she was on a Caribbean vacation learning how to walk bow-legged. But she gonna be rich. And you know I'm right. You know that what I'm telling you is accurate. That's exactly what's gonna happen in this situation. So you can say, well, you know, the days of Fannie Willis are over. Maybe, as a district attorney. But she'll be out there running her mouth. Because what is it about the left? God, I don't know. I guess I could say that about the right. But the sheer idiocy of mouthpieces that the left continues to trot out in front of the public and say, these are normal people. I mean, we saw what happened with Keith Olbermann after the 9-0 shellacking that was passed down by the Supreme Court in regards to Colorado keeping Donald Trump off of their ballot. Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. Keith Olbermann lost his mind. Absolutely lost his mind. People like Barbara Streisand on X, she said, anyone who watched any of Trump's recent rallies should be concerned. He slurs his words and frequently uses words completely out of context. Some of his sentences are utter gibberish. He also confused Obama with Biden about who is president. The media needs to cover this. That's Barbara Streisand. Babs. God, she really should be introduced to a guy named Joe. Oh, she's worried. She's worried about him slurring his words. I mean, listen, where's my tequila? It's somewhere here. There it is. It's over here behind me. Reach back there and get it. You hear that? Oh, there it is. That is the rattle of ice in my solo cup. A little tequila and Topo Chico. Hang on. Let me take a little sip. Sorry. Sounded like Fannie Willis on vacation. I was with my friend Steve Toth. Steve was just reelected state representative, Texas legislature in District 15. I was just with him at his election party, his watch party, and he trounced his opponent. And I'm glad Steve's the guy for the job. This was a powerful night for Texas politics in a big way. A lot of grassroots candidates came out on top. I will not start announcing winners right now because some of them are still way too close. I mean, within a matter of 100 votes, some of them way too close to call, and I'm sure there'll be some recounts out there. But the last I checked, my good friend Shelley Luther seemed to be doing very well in her district. As I said, Steve, he won resoundingly. There are various others out there that did good, a great, great job. And that's a good thing because the Ken Paxton sham impeachment trial exposed a lot of the establishment rhinos who have been in the Texas State House for a long time. I was disappointed to see some of them retain their seats. They need to go away. But such is politics. It's a crazy game out there. And I just say that I'm glad that I was not running for office. A lot of people at the watch party tonight. I've had a lot of people in recent months who have asked me to run for office. I say, you know, right now I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and running my mouth. Entertaining you and just looking at some issues. One of those issues that really disturbs me. And it always amazes me how you can put facts, truth, evidence right in front of the faces of people on the left. And they say, that's not true. That's not true. I don't know if they just don't feel like it's true. They don't want it to be true. It's not an argument they can defend. You know, if I say, give them something, they say, well, that's been debunked. And I say, well, here's the evidence. They say, no, I told you it's been debunked. Well, give me the evidence that it's been debunked. I told you it was debunked. The administration of Joe Biden has now admitted to flying in 2023 325,000 unvetted folks, illegals, into the U.S. in 2023. So this is going to get interesting. 325,000 illegals flown from other countries into the United States. Now, they're going to argue that and say this is because this was a family reunification project. I still have an argument that those folks who are here illegally, I don't think we start reunifying families with people that are unvetted and bringing them into the American system and making them now dependent on our federal taxes. So here we are. This astounds me. This blows my mind. Now, I've known that people coming across the border have gone into airports and flown into the interior of the country. I've literally seen that with my own eyes. I have flown on the airplanes with these people. I have seen the manila envelopes. I have seen the, you know, the plane tickets. I've seen the, you know, the whatever, the credentials that gets them through TSA. But to find out that people are flying from all over the world into the interior of the United States, this is absolutely astounding. And then you put that out there, and the U.S. People in the U.S., especially the progressive rah-rahs and re-rees that love Joe Biden for, God, I don't know why, but they say that's simply not true. Well, it is absolutely true. The Biden administration has admitted to flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border. See, that way they can say, see, our numbers are lower. They didn't let them cross over. There were no apprehensions. There were no encounters. There was no razor wire. There was no river crossings. No, they reduced the number by freaking flying them into the country. Someone commented to me on X. They said, you mean Greg Abbott did this? Well, here's the difference. Greg Abbott put people on buses. And again, I'm not for that either. I suggested it as a stunt back when I was running against Greg Abbott, that we should have a busload, take them to the Capitol, and let's see what they do with them. But this to be an increased deal, you know, listen, it's worked for Abbott. I don't like the ramifications and the consequences of what's going to come, because now those people are in the interior of the country and they're never going to leave, and we're probably never going to find them again. But those people were already in the country. They'd already crossed the border. And so for people who say, well, Greg Abbott's done this, the governor of Texas, he's done this. Now, the difference is Joe Biden was flying people from outside of the country into the interior of the United States. So, so many things there. So many things there. None of it good. None of it good. There are millions of people in the United States right now. Has anybody else gotten to a point where they feel a little bit awkward saying the United States? We're not united. Western Oregon is not united with North Texas. Seattle is not united with me. I feel a little weird. I want it to be united, because a house divided can't stand. But here we are, you know, people who can't get along on Twitter, they think they're going to get along with somebody from Venezuela. It's not going to happen. They think they can get along with somebody who they don't know their language. They are not willing to assimilate. You've heard all of my buzzwords before. They can't get along with people from an opposing political party. They can't get along with their Uncle George at Thanksgiving dinner because he has wild-eyed ideas. And they think they're going to get along with Miguel, who has marched his ass up here, crossed the border illegally, and now come in and expects you to take care of him. Well, neighbor, that ain't going to work out so well. It's just not. I have seen man's inhumanity to man, and I'm anxious for you to see the episode that we filmed today. My friend Larry Alex Taunton, he hosts the podcast Ideas Have Consequences. We work with the same network of people. He is my friend, and I am so thankful that he speaks the truth that he does. It helps disciple my mind. I'm a fan of what he studies and how he communicates what he studies, and he does an effective job both in his books, in his articles, as well as on his podcast, Ideas Have Consequences. And so he joined me today. Thank God for technology in a lot of ways. He was able to stream in and join me from Cartagena, Colombia, where he is there. He has seen some things firsthand, folks. And what he is exposing are things that you already suspected, things you may have already known, but he's looking at it firsthand. And he texted me tonight. I'm gonna just read it to you. It's a short, simple, sweet text. He said, I'm so tired of shitty, evil people who don't care who they hurt. It's true. Man's inhumanity to man, folks, it never changes. It's been around for thousands of years. As long as people have been alive on this planet, when Cain slew his brother with a rock, the atrocities of what people are willing to do to other people, the lack of awareness of the sanctity of human life at any level, that's the world we're living in. You read the history books, or you see the documentaries, or you watch the movies, and you see that they put people on train cars. They took them to concentration camps. They gassed them. They experimented on them medically. They tortured them. You look at Stalin's Russia. I mean, where he would weld people into submarines and sink them. The 100 million people plus that died at the hands of communism alone. You look at the genocides of fascism. You look at the Hitlers, the Pol Pots, the Mao Zedongs, the on and on, the Fidel Castros. So many names that we name that represent the antichrist evil of man's inhumanity to man. And you know why? Because they were all ideologies. They were all ideologies that had consequences. As Larry's title says, ideas have consequences, and those consequences led to murder and death. And now we have people who are espousing fantasy ideas that, God, you would think they would have learned from history. They're espousing these ideas now in the United States of America. And I'm here to tell you, I want to be wrong. God, I want to be wrong. I wish that you and I could just share in this unicorn utopia of what these people are coming up with, folks. It ain't going to happen. It's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to tragedy. And listen, I'm a comedian. I get on stage. I tell jokes. I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to be this guy. I want to sit around and have fun conversations. All of my friends are out there having fun conversations. I see other comedians' podcasts, and they're having fun. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm out here preaching to people. But I sat tonight at that watch party there in Montgomery County, Texas. And I'll tell you, man, I was listening to people, and they said, at least you stir things up. At least you're willing to talk about it. And I had somebody pray with me the other day. And he told me, he said, you have a boldness. You say things that others may be shy. They don't want to say. I said, I don't know. I don't think that. I think there's a lot of people out there who say the things that I say. And he said, no, you have a boldness. And he said, I want it to increase. I was like, dear God, I don't know if I can handle that level of persecution that'll come. But you know what? We're going to keep on talking. We're going to keep on exposing. As long as there's breath left in my body, we're going to keep on talking. And we're going to keep on doing, too. We're doing a lot of things behind the scenes, man. And I would love for you to come to a show. Come hang out with us. WatchChad.com has all the fun stuff. And we're going to be in. Well, I'm headed to Nashville this week. We're working on a project. My new song, Famous Again, is coming out March 29th. I think the video will come out April 5th, but March 29th, that is Easter weekend. Check it out. Famous Again. You're going to love it. It's a fun little earworm. You're going to appreciate that. But working on some more projects. And then I'll be in Port O'Connor, Texas on Saturday night. The Ragamuffins will be with me. We'll do a little music, see how the voice holds out. But it's going to be fun no matter what. We'll drink a little tequila. And then next week, the week after that, I think what's that, spring break. Yeah, spring break. I'm going to go on up to Rednecks with Paychecks. Going to be there for a couple of days, a little family reunion, hug some necks. And then the week after that, Zach Rushing and I, we're going to go to Joliet, Illinois. We're going to be in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and West Lebanon, Indiana. So get your tickets, watchchad.com. Oh, I'm going to be in Granbury Live, Granbury, Texas, and then Waco, Texas, back at the Hippodrome. We're doing that the last weekend of the month. So get them tickets, come see us and hang out. All right, I love you guys. God bless you. Appreciate you so much, more than you can ever know. Leave us a rating and review, and we will talk to you next time. Stay safe. Bye.